All right, ladies and gentlemen, strap on your seatbelt. The Tech Doctor podcast is back once again, and with good reason. We are here to talk about the big event that took place on September 12th, 2017 at the brand new Steve Jobs Theater. Along with me is my podcasting partner, the other tech doctor, Allison Hartley. Allison, it's been too long. How are you?
It has. I hope I remember how to do this. I'm doing well on this day of all days.
Excellent. It is quite a day, huh?
It is.
And as has become our custom or tradition here at the Tech Doctor Podcast, we have Mr. David Woodbridge all the way from Australia, who's been up for, I think, 75 hours now. How are you doing, David?
Feels that way. I was about to say to Alison, you have to sound so enthusiastic and sparkly because I'm getting really tired.
Don't worry. I'll carry enough enthusiasm for both.
Oh, thank you.
Excellent. We do thrive on that Allison enthusiasm and energy around here. All right. So this was really, I thought, an important event today with a lot of significant things going on. It's no big surprise that they started off with sort of an honoring of Steve Jobs, who started this project, the Apple Park project, they said about 10 years ago. And so they showed a video of Steve talking a little bit about the importance of making something wonderful. And it was kind of interesting to hear Tim Cook talk about Steve, and I could hear a catch in his voice once in a while. Maybe you had a little.
I teared up. I did. Yeah.
Yeah. It was really quite, I thought, a moving introduction to this keynote today. The new theater is apparently a remarkable place. I hope to get to go there someday, and maybe you will before I will, Allison, because you're not too awfully far from there where you live, are you?
A couple hours by car, but yeah, we should plan on making a joint adventure of it, and then we could podcast from the new Apple Park campus.
Yeah, we really need to make a point to do that sometime. Tim also mentioned the hurricane relief that's going on iTunes, where you can donate for helping the victims, and we really got hit hard here, not far from me in the Houston area, and of course, Florida's going through it now, and I'm really glad that Apple is social-minded the way it is and that they provide vehicles for people to contribute to these things. So that's how it all started. Any comments either of you all want to make about what you thought about the introduction?
Well, I just thought it was touching and fitting to pay tribute to Steve and the victims of the hurricane. It makes me even, you know, all these social-minded things just make me feel better about buying Apple products because I'm a liberal, so.
It's also good the fact that, I mean, you've got a multi-billion-dollar company who's being socially responsible and donating to disasters and that sort of stuff. So, you know, I think from their perspective and corporate side of things, it was really great.
Yeah, it's really cool that this magnificent campus that they've built, they said, is 100% running on renewable energy. There's a new visitor center there, which I'd like to go to sometime, and there's going to be an Apple store opening there on the campus. And not that they would get any of my money or anything, but still it'd be fun.
Oh, never. No. I never spend money when I go into an Apple store. I just look.
Yeah, it'd be fun to go sometime. Yeah. So then they moved right on into talking some about retail, and they had Angela come up, who's been the head of Apple retail for quite a while now. And they really are trying to redo the whole concept of the stores and call them more like plazas, where there are all kinds of events going on, artists, musicians performing, and lots of forums where they educate teachers and educate people who want to learn more about programming. And it sounds like they're really trying to turn that place that was originally just thought of as a retail store sort of into an Apple community where you can go and, I guess, shop, but also connect with other people and things like that.
I don't know what the Apple stores are like in the US, but here in Australia, if I go into one of the major stores, because it's all open, I find as a voiceover user, it's really hard to hear the person talking to me, particularly when taking me through a product. So it's great to have a sense of community and flow and openness and everything else. But I just find as a person who's blind, it's really hard to to concentrate in these open type environments.
It is a bit loud, yeah. And it's usually crowded, which as a dog user can be a little bit challenging, finding a place to put the dog out of the way in this type of
environment. I know a lot of the stores have training areas or places off to the side where things can take place. Maybe we should make a plea that when we go to the store and we need some quiet, we could be taken into one of those areas if the store has something.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah.
Much better.
It was nice to see her. It was nice to see her out there. I think was it the first time or the second time that she's been?
First time I remember her actually being on stage.
Yeah, I think
there.
It might be the first time. And she was also the only female representation.
Actually, it was really funny because I found her voice really, really boring. Because
it wasn't very sparkly.
No, because I've heard, what's her name? The head of environmental.
Lisa Jackson.
Lisa Jackson. Yeah.
She speaks with passion and her voice changes. But with Angela, it was almost like a monotone. I thought, are you reading what you're saying just off a teleprompter, or are you speaking sort of freeform? Because, my goodness, it was a little bit on the boring side.
Yeah, I mean, she came from the fashion world. I kind of thought she would have a little bit more pizzazz, but there was no pizzazz to be had.
Yeah, I don't even know Angela, so I'm not going to pretend to make excuses for her, but I've always heard that she's very, very shy and that public speaking is very hard for her.
Oh, yeah.
So. Are you a nice person, Robert, you?
Yeah.
Make us feel bad.
No, I don't feel bad. It just may not be her forte. But I'm not going to tell her you said she was boring, David.
Okay.
We don't want to get her mad and have her raise the prices on us.
Yeah.
So the first product we got into was the new Apple Watch. And apparently Apple Watch sold really well last quarter, increasing its numbers, I believe, by 50%. It's now the number one watch in the world. I guess it's even past the traditional watches in terms of sales.
Yeah.
It's got a 97% satisfaction rating, so I guess people really like it. Wonder what 3% don't like about it.
They must really hate it, yeah.
And they showed a customer video with a lot of people talking about the things they like about the watch and how important it's been to them. It seems like especially surrounding healthcare, and so you know, I mean, that's nice. Tim, I you know, seems really serious when he says that it means something to him to get these favorable comments from customers. So I guess it does.
That video was cool with the people talking in all different languages, and it was nice.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's the main thing about Apple. They want to show off their products via stories all the time. So they're not interested in, you know, this product does this and that product does that. They're interested in, this is how this product changes this person's life, and this is their story. So, you know, that's kept to their main theme, which I think is a great way of explaining how technology is used in people's lives, really.
I do, too. I like that human element part of it. So Jeff came up and talked about the future of the watch, smart activities, better coaching in a lot of the workouts. This is all going to be part of Watch OS 4. Apple has apparently done some things to enhance their heart rate sensor. Your heart rate's now going to show up on the face of the watch, and there are also going to be some new measurements that it's taking for you, your resting heart rate and your recovery heart rate, and you're going to be able to monitor better throughout the day any changes that are going on in your heart rate, because sometimes things are going on that you need medical attention for, but you may not realize it. And the watch supposedly is going to help you be more aware if you need to pay attention to something.
I'm really looking forward to that, because heart problems run in my family, and I've been really lucky so far, but I always want to have a way of being careful and watching myself. So this will just be another way of helping myself to stay more healthy.
That's one thing I always found an issue with the watch too, is that to get your heartbeat from the watch, you've got to tap on the heartbeat icon, go into it, read the screen. Even if you've got a complication set for enable speech on the watch face, it won't work because there's no data there. So I just hope that either enabling, you know, feedback on an icon being updated, or having the heartbeat rate going and then just raising your wrist will actually give you that. Because when you're running on a treadmill, the last thing you want to do is try and hold on to one of the handlebars, have your other hand use your watch, and have
Yeah, you might run right off that treadmill trying to do that.
Correct.
Yeah, and so it sounds like they're going to be doing another large health study looking at heart rhythm, and that's an area that apparently needs some more data on how to help people better monitor their heart rhythm. So that was kind of interesting to see that announced.
Yeah.
So then we kind of moved on into the new hardware. There's a new Apple Watch. They're going to call it the Series 3. It has, at least one model has a built-in cellular capability. You can receive calls on your watch. And interestingly enough, it uses the same phone number as your phone. I don't know details, maybe you all do, about what the carriers are going to charge for the cellular, adding the watch to your plan.
Yeah, I don't know about that part of it, but it was interesting. I had a look on the Apple Store here in Australia this morning on the app, and it said that your carrier has to be able to support Wi-Fi calling.
Uh-huh.
So normally that's a feature where if I turn that on in my house now with Telstra here in Australia, the phone uses part of my Wi-Fi network to actually, or use the Wi-Fi network to make the phone call. So it sounds like it's going to be using it. So it almost sounds like it's going to be using cellular data to make the phone call over Wi-Fi. So it's not actually using the DSM network. It's actually using a cellular data connection.
Interesting.
Via electronic SIM to make the phone call. Because I noticed in the when they were talking about it, he mentioned it's not a real SIM, it's an electronic SIM.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm wondering whether they're doing something clever with cellular data, and that's why your phone number gets basically used, because you're literally using your same phone number on your plan, I guess, to make the phone call.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how would that work if you're not in Wi-Fi range, if you're out somewhere?
When you use a cell signal, there's two bands. There's the GSM or CDMA band, which is used for telephone calls, and then there's the LTE, which is used for the data. Uh-huh. So it's essentially going to use the LTE data portion to make the phone call instead of using the GSM or CDMA.
Which probably means when you're not getting data contact through your plan, then you won't be able to make a phone call. But that's true for any mobile phone.
Yeah.
You're away from a tower and you don't have data.
Right.
Then you can't use your phone anyway.
Well, cool. It's going to be interesting to see how all that works out. I'm kind of a bit more interested, I think, in the cellular option than I originally thought. I'm almost always not more than 3 or 4 inches away from my phone, so I didn't think it would be. But it seems kind of intriguing. What do you all think about it?
I just like the convenience of being able to on the go answer and take calls on my wrists, and I would like to be able to make them as well sometime. So without having to pull my phone out.
Yeah, I mean same here. I mean, I really want more flexibility on what I'm using. So I'm looking forward to it. I've already favorited and set my one up for pre-order on the 19th already.
Wow.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so I'm ready to go.
You're serious about this thing.
Absolutely.
Excellent. Yeah, I may do that as well, because I still have the Series 0, and I'm ready to try a Series 3 at this point. You're going to be able to stream Apple Music on your watch. You're going to have Siri talking to you now with the Siri voice, which I think a lot of people are looking forward to.
I am, yeah.
Yeah, I heard a lot of people say it was really troubling to be driving and be dictating something to Siri, but then have to read it back to see if you got it right or she got it right. Mm. So this is going to help with that problem a lot. There's a new dual-core processor in the watch, and it seems like it's going to be a significant upgrade. New Bluetooth and Wi-Fi chip. So I think that, you know, they've overcome some real challenges. They're using the display as the antenna for the cellular system. It seems like they've really worked hard to make this work in a watch that I'm gathering is essentially the same size as the ones that we have now.
The back will be just a tad thicker, but it won't be noticeable.
Mm. One thing I'm going to be really irritated by, though, if it happens, the first thing I'm going to try is use one of my normal apps on the watch. And if I get the loading image, I'm going to be really irritated.
Yeah, me too.
hope that issue goes away. So they did some demonstrations. They had a woman out on a boat, and if the watch is as clear, the microphone's as clear as it was on that demonstration, we'll be really excited to use the watch for phone calls, but we'll have to wait and see if it works as well live as it did in the demo. Mm. Some new watch bands from Nike and other places, as well as some new Hermes watch faces available. So I thought they have done quite a bit with the watch here. And you know, the cellular version is going to cost $399, and the non-cellular version is going to cost $329. And if you're like David Woodbridge, you can order it, even pre-order it on this coming Friday and probably have it on the 22nd. So
yep, that's what I'm planning to do.
You know what I hate is when you guys in the States say the prices in the US, because it always sounds a lot nicer.
Yeah.
because the Jeep, because in the store they don't call it the cellular model, they call it the I think it says GPS stroke cell model or something weird like that.
Mm.
And in Australia, I think it's both the 38 and 42 millimeter ones are exactly the same price, but it's $559 Australian. Cool. Which doesn't sound anywhere near as nice as what you're saying.
Oh my goodness!
Hmm. But the good news is you're a wealthy man with all your technology ventures, so not a problem.
If so, to be absolutely yes, apparently.
Yeah. So you said that the both sizes are now the same price.
Yeah. Look, I'm pretty sure I wasn't imagining things because I was playing with I've got about 9 Apple Watch bands, so I really have to buy a 42mm, and I've got no choice, otherwise I'm going to have to buy new bands again.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure when I switched between the sizes, the price stayed the same, which I think
you're right, because they only announced 2 prices, one for the cellular and one without. So
yeah, you're right.
Okay.
I think they're charging the same price. They stopped charging more for more millimeters, all right?
Which is good.
That's good. Well, we can move on if you guys are ready to talk about the Apple TV, which was the next thing. Apple won an Emmy for series use on the Apple TV. That's kind of cool. Of course, no big surprise. They are going to have new Apple TV hardware, which has 4K capability. And I don't think I will see it any better than I see the current one. But nonetheless, for those who can use that capability, I think it's really time for Apple to move into that space. Although I don't know anyone personally who has a 4K TV, but I guess some people do.
At the moment, I don't have a 4K TV. I want a new, dare I mention the word Android. I'm going to get myself a new Android Sony TV at some stage. So that's going to be 4K anyway. But I just have this thing about 4K because the file size is going to be a lot bigger. And here in Australia, even though we're moving into the NBN board where we're supposed to have faster speeds, literally the way our network works, the faster speed goes sort of to your community and then to your own house off the nearest pole. You've still got copper wire, so the speed slows down. I can't, you know, a normal HD movie is about 4 gig. God knows what a 4K video is going to be like. So,
yeah,
you know, to me, I couldn't imagine doing it. I mean, the fact that it's faster now, and they're still maintaining, I believe, the 32 and the 64 gig versions. And for the previous version, they're dropping the 64 gig, so it'll only be 32. But yeah, I was thinking there's no need for me to upgrade because my current fourth generation, it supports all my HomeKit devices in the house. I've got all my Nimbus controllers for my boys. You know, it's hanging off the Xbox, so the boys can switch between the Xbox and the Apple TV. So, you know, the fact that I love the fact the Apple TV app is now arriving in Australia sooner than later. That to me is absolutely brilliant. But, you know, that's regardless of whether I upgrade from a fourth gen to a, I guess you'd call it a second gen, fourth generation.
They're going to go ahead and put 4K content in iTunes for people who want it. And if you bought things that were lower resolution, they're going to go ahead and upgrade those for you. I guess that would may not be a great thing for you, David, having to worry about the file sizes and all, but it looks like that's the direction it's going in for sure.
Is anyone surprised to hear that I'm getting one? Anybody?
I am shocked. You, of all people?
I don't have a 4K TV. We hook our Apple TV up to speakers through some jiggery-pokery with a little converter box, but it is going to be a faster model. It's been 2 years, and it's not, you know, comparatively speaking, it's not that expensive, so I'm just going to get it.
You're getting it so you can watch all the new live sports features that are going to be available?
Well, more for the live news, but Jeremy might like the live sports.
A developer showed a new game, I believe, called Sky that I guess is supposed to be exciting. And so the Apple TV is moving along. I think that it's probably just kind of felt to me like it's just kind of catching up a little bit. And
I guess
it's being offered now at a pretty good price. I know some of the other TV type boxes are a bit cheaper, but you do get quite a bit with the Apple TV, especially if you want really good accessibility.
Right.
Yep.
So then we get into the iPhones, and believe it or not, we have no iPhone 7S or 7S Plus. We're going to go straight to iPhone 8, and I think that's probably a good move because the iPhone 8 has been redesigned with a glass on the front and the back.
Yeah.
And they're coming in silver, space gray, and a gold, which is apparently not quite the same as the gold from last year. But the glass is supposed to be very durable, and there's good water resistance built in there. New Retina display. It's going to support True Tone, which has been something that has been on the iPads for a while. It's cool for those of us interested in audio. The speakers are 25% louder.
Yeah.
Be interesting to hear what they sound like. A new A11, they're calling it a Bionic chip, which is kind of interesting. 70% faster than the A10 chip. And Apple designed its own GPU this time. We've got the 12 megapixel cameras and new camera sensors. The 8 Plus still has the two sensors, and apparently there's really great capability now of taking photographs in low light, and so that might be helpful for optical character recognition.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yep.
New feature called portrait lighting, which my wife liked. She walked by and just happened to see that when she was walking through, and she thought that was really cool that apparently you can take some really great portraits now, and you can actually adjust the lighting after the fact on the portrait. So that's pretty cool. And it's really great for video as well. Apple has designed a new video encoder. And they're also optimizing these cameras for augmented reality. And I'm not sure yet quite what that's going to mean for people who are blind and visually impaired, but I bet there are some real possibilities there. We don't know exactly how that's going to work, though.
One of the things we were talking about on the blind side was for websites that you let you use AR to try makeup or clothing. And if you could combine that with some sort of either a description service or AI or Aira or Be My Eyes or something like that, that could be really great for independent shopping online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we're going to see some really creative uses of those things. I used to think AR was just about overlaying visual imagery on top of whatever it is you're viewing, but I think there's a lot more to it than that. These phones are going to have the capability of wireless charging, although Apple...
Yay!
Yeah. Apple.
That's great if you get to that point. It's like, please mention the Wi-Fi charging.
You guys are excited about that.
Yes.
Apple's not coming out with its own charging mat at first. It's going to be out sometime next year. But they are supporting the Qi standard of charging, so you can buy wireless chargers from Belkin and other places. So I hear you guys are going to, sounds like, try it out, huh?
Yeah, I'm going to get either a Belkin or a Mophie. Interestingly, Qi is spelled Q-I.
Yeah.
So I looked at it. Oh, and I was like, oh, that's... Oh, yeah. makes lots of sense.
Yeah, I heard.
Was it something?
Heard people talking about that on the Daily Observations podcast one day, arguing about saying it was spelled QI and trying to figure out how to pronounce it. And it's oddly enough pronounced Qi. Hmm. And interestingly enough, these phones come in 64 and 256 gigs.
Hmm.
So, David, you can pre-order one of those today as well. Or you can set yourself up in your favorites to pre-order one on Friday.
Well, when we get to talk about the other phone, I'll tell you a conversation I've had between doing a podcast for The Blind Side and doing a podcast for you guys now, because I've had further discussions.
Oh, great.
And I'm necessarily going to be ordering an iPhone 8 anymore.
Okay, excellent. Good deal. I'm looking forward to hearing this discussion. The next thing that happened, we might as well get right to it, was the thing that I think everybody had been really looking forward to in this keynote. And unfortunately, a lot of it had leaked out over the weekend, but it's the introduction of the new iPhone X. And
yes,
I'm going to get really frustrated when I hear people call it the iPhone X. I want people to call it iPhone 10.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's got the edge-to-edge display. It's got glass on the front and the back. And it uses a surgical-grade stainless steel band. How about that? Surgical-grade. I mean, what more would you want?
Yeah.
It comes in space gray and silver. I think those are the only two colors.
They are.
They're calling the display Super Retina because they have apparently resolved all of the problems that have normally existed before now in the OLED display technology, so they can now make them very, very high quality. And, I saw a couple things on Twitter where people who are blind were kind of, I think, frustrated by so much talk about all the visual stuff, but face it, people, Apple is a company that makes visual products.
Yeah,
exactly.
They just happen to make them accessible.
Yeah.
You can apparently tap the screen to wake this phone, and I'm sorry to tell you, David, but there's no more home button. And
I know. It's okay.
But you're gonna have to. You can swipe up from the bottom and get to your home screen.
Yeah, so. And you can wake it up from the side button. I mean, I was talking about this morning about the fact that, it might cause issues for some people with some physical issues about trying to use the power button on the side, because it is a lot harder to press in. But, the workaround that is to use assistive touch and stuff like that anyway for Siri. So we'll see what happens anyway.
Yeah, I was a little confused. I know it was clear that you can swipe up to get to the home screen, but they talked about swiping up and stopping or something, or pausing to get to the app switcher or multitasking. I didn't understand how you would necessarily do that, but I guess we'll find out.
I guess when you swipe up, and then just immediately you can take your fingers off the screen, and that'll take you to the home. But if you keep them, if you do a more of a controlled swipe up and rest your fingers, maybe your finger, I don't know for voiceover users if it'll be one or two fingers, but it'll be interesting to find out.
Yeah, it will. And like you were saying, David, I'm not sure if you said this part, but you can use the side button now. You can hold it in to access Siri. So. Mm. That's how you're going to, I guess I didn't hear anybody say, are there still hardware volume buttons on the phone, I assume?
Yes.
So you got,
I assume.
Nobody said there was, all they said was the home button was gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they talked about the side button.
Yeah, the side button, which I'm assuming is the power.
Yeah.
And then just your mute and volume up and volume down. So I'm assuming they aren't gone.
Yeah, I assume not.
Interesting.
And so you unlock iPhone 10 with your face. If you have a face for radio, it may be, you know, a bit more difficult to unlock. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Apparently, it's supposed to work well with all faces, right? So,
yeah. Yeah. And one really important thing that's been mentioned on Twitter, and I actually emailed one of my contacts at Apple who got back to me straight away just after we finished the other podcast, was the fact that in Settings General Accessibility, there's a thing called Attention Mode, and you can turn that off, which means when you're using your face to do your Face ID, you don't have to be looking at the phone. As long as your face is in recognition range of the phone, it's fine. So, because I know a lot of people were concerned about when they said if your eyes were closed, you couldn't unlock your phone because it would assume you were sleeping or doing something else. But no, there is an attention mode that you can turn off so that if you're a voiceover user, it will still unlock the phone using your face.
Well, that's good. Will it realize that during setup, I hope, and then maybe turn that off for you automatically? That would be handy.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's on automatically, because I'm assuming if you turn on VoiceOver, it's going to say, well, wait a minute, if you're using VoiceOver, you must want this other feature turned on automatically.
Yeah.
And I guess always then choose to turn it off. So it'll be interesting to see what automated state it comes in. And I'm assuming the face training to look at the phone properly is just going to be exactly like using your finger on the Touch ID. It'll tell you to turn your head left, right, up or down, or
yeah.
From what I've heard with VoiceOver running, you don't have to do all the crazy head turning of the sighted people. You do a straight on. You just put it straight on in front of your face, and then it'll have you addressed in minuscule amounts from there. But you don't have to do the whole turning your head to various degrees to get the side of your face. At least that's what I've heard so far. It might be different once it ships.
So all those sighted people are going to have a crick in their neck. But the blind people are going to be just fine.
True,
it's your idea.
And one of the coolest things that I'm looking forward to is all this processing of face recognition and a few other things on the phone. We now have a neural engine. Didn't you always want a neural engine?
I've always, it's what Apple always gives us, something that we didn't know we wanted. But.
Yeah, and now we got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, that's really good news, David, about being able to turn off the attention mode or whatever it's called. I think that's a really brilliant way for Apple to handle that. And thanks for telling us about that, because I was wondering how that was going to work out.
The problem I find is, like, you know, Apple will work out accessibility for anything that they do, but it's always in the back of my mind that, you know, okay, I know you've done this properly over the last, you know, since 2009 and with the Mac since 2005, but there's always this little voice inside you about maybe they just haven't got it right this time. And every time I find out that they have, I think, why do I keep doubting for? I just
should have.
I do the same thing, though.
Yeah.
I worry about it, but I have an underlying faith, I think, that they're going to handle it correctly. Of course, none of us knows whether we'll ultimately end up liking Face ID for unlocking as much as we like Touch ID. You know, how fast will it really be? How accurate will it be? And I don't want to state this too strongly, but I sort of feel like this year is the learning place for Apple. You know, they're going to get these phones out to us and learn a lot about how we do or don't like, you know, Face ID to work. And so if you don't want to kind of be on the cutting edge of this process, you may not want to go with this phone this year. You might want to wait. But me personally, I just love the idea of there being a redesigned iPhone with new capabilities, and I'm really excited to give it a shot.
Yeah. I mean, that's why my discussions happened after that, because I went in and woke my wife up and I said, oh yeah, we just had the keynote and I'm going to get the iPhone 8. And she said, but isn't the iPhone 8 essentially a new iPhone 7 with wireless charging? So basically you're just going to get the same phone that's currently available. Don't you want the new phone that's got the new technology that's different? I went, oh, yeah, that's right.
Glad you woke her up.
Yeah.
Although I'm surprised she lets you get anything after you
good
woke
on
her
you.
Up. Yeah. Well, and it sounds like that, interestingly enough, Apple is saying that the Face ID is much more difficult to fool or spoof than Touch ID was. There's only one in a million chance that another face could unlock your phone. And what was it, one in 50,000 for Touch ID?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that scared the crap out of me when I realized that. Because, I mean, yes, it's one in 50,000, but somebody could get your phone and spoof it with your fingerprint. And it's one in a million with a face. So I feel much more confident. I was like, I didn't realize that was even a possibility.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah.
And you're going to be able to use Apple Pay with Face ID. You double tap the side button and then look at the phone, or probably in our case, just face the phone, and you'll Apple Pay will work that way.
I think I'll still miss Touch ID because I use Touch ID all the time.
I do too.
Use it with quite a few of my apps. So I'm just wondering if apps like my password app that I use for my passwords, I unlock it with my Touch ID. So I'm wondering all the apps that I currently use with Touch ID, I wonder if they will just switch over if you've got an iPhone 10 and start using Face ID to unlock those apps then.
Yes, that's something that will happen within the process that Apple will just – the phone would just substitute it and the apps won't care, or will the app developers have to do something? We don't know.
What I have read so far, and again, it's early days, is that they won't have to do anything. It'll just work. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So they're doing some really interesting visual things with some new emojis where they can do all kinds of things with your facial expressions.
Yeah. God bless sighted people.
Yeah.
I do suspect that will be something that sighted people will get excited about. At least some will.
I wish I had any interest in it at all, because it does sound like something trendy, but I'm just like, I don't know. I don't really care. I can't do it, so.
Yeah, I understand.
My boys will probably be excited. I mean, the fact that you can have your expression to be very, very happy or very grumpy or exasperated or whatever else, and turn it into face emojis. I mean, that sounds really cool. So I'll when I get mine, I'll have to get my boys to do some really odd faces and see what happens with the messages.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Yeah. Mm. So it does have the optical image stabilization that the Plus phones have had. And you can now take portrait selfies with the new iPhone 10 front camera. I didn't really know you couldn't do that before, but anyway, I just can't. Uses the same A11 Bionic chip, and it actually, with all this recognition stuff that's going on, they were somehow managed to increase the battery life by 2 hours.
2 hours, yeah. In the 10 specifically, yeah.
Apple's going to come out with a charging mat later on this year or early next year, I guess, actually. Yeah, early next year. And it will charge your phone, your watch, and your AirPods if you get the new optional charging case for the AirPods.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to have to buy two new AirPod charging cases in, because I've got two AirPods. So,
well, of course you're going to have to. It's just the way it is. Now, some said, I think it was Dave Hamilton, is arguing that even though they didn't talk about it, he thinks that there will be new improved AirPods in that new charging case. But no one else is saying that.
So. No, I've not heard that anywhere. Yeah.
And they're going to call this new charging mat AirPower.
Ooh.
I like AirPower.
Yeah, I like that.
Johnny Ive did a nice video all about the design of the iPhone 10. I mean, it was good to have Johnny back and on his videos.
His videos are my favorite part of the keynote. Yeah,
they make me laugh, those videos.
They're so very British.
Oh, it's just like the new iPhone, the most advanced iPhone we've made yet. And it's like, you almost sound like a Secret Service person or something. Right? Hello, look, they've dragged Johnny out from behind the curtain again. Here's his video. We'll just, when he's finished, we'll just pop him back behind the curtain again.
Yeah. I think he likes it better behind the curtain.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. He
does. So, again, the iPhone X, which I'm definitely going to get, is coming in the 64 and 256 gig. Bad news is, in the U.S., God only knows how much it is in Australia, but in the U.S., the 64 gig is $9.99. I don't know a price for the 256.
$11.49.
Is it $11.49?
Right. Would you like to know the Australian price?
Yes.
$14.99 for the 64 gig. And $18.99 for the 256.
Oh, my God.
Have you shared that part with your wife yet?
Yes.
Yes. She went back to sleep?
She did.
Yeah. Okay. I don't blame her. Wow. That is really expensive. But the bad news I was going to mention, because I wasn't even focused on the price, was that you can't pre-order it until October 27th.
Yeah, that's a bit of a bummer.
And you're not going to be able to. You're not going to be able to get it until November 3rd.
Oh,
wow!
If we're lucky and we get it in the first run,
exactly.
I'll be there with my app store running, going tap 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 tap.
Oh, me too.
Me too.
For sure. Because
I've been real excited about this phone.
Yeah, and Jeremy was kind of iffy about it, but I basically told him he's getting one.
Oh, so. Excellent!
He'll like it. Yeah.
So essentially, that was the keynote. That's what they announced, and I don't know. I was kind of frustrated, honestly, that so much was leaked over the weekend. I'd rather be surprised.
Yeah,
it's actually quite nasty. It's almost like technological vandalism or something. There's just no need for it.
I agree. But I enjoyed it a lot. I thought the presentation was well done. I heard someone say that they think that. You know, the Apple presenters are really boring and you know, they're not showmen, they're technology people. And so I can see how people would say that if you didn't love the technology, but
you can sense their passion for what they've made in every syllable, I think.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Well, most of them anyway, yep.
Yeah, I don't think David kind of got that vibe from one of them.
No.
We won't mention any names, but it might have been Angela. But you know, it's a well done. It's always jam packed with information, and they really move it right along. And so I was pleased with how it went. I'm certainly going to get myself one of the new watches and the iPhone 10, and so what if I don't have any money left? How about you all?
I'm 3 for 3. I'm getting everything.
Hang on. What, the iPhone 8 as well?
No. <The 10.
laughs> You should.
The Apple TV and the watch, okay. Yeah.
You should get an iPhone 8 just in case you want a phone, a special phone for the weekend.
Just for backup, yeah.
I'm actually going to. Well, I'm definitely going to get the Apple Watch Series 3. Definitely not getting the 4K Apple TV. I will be borrowing an iPhone 8 on loan from Apple so I can do some podcasts on it, and then I'll be personally buying the iPhone 10. So, because it's really funny, sometimes when people listen to my podcast, they actually assume that all the stuff that I demo, I actually personally own. And every now and again, it's actually a loan Apple device from Apple. But I don't say that in the podcast. I just say, oh, look, you know, here's my new MacBook Pro with Touch Bar or here's my something else. But in reality, it's on loan from Apple.
Well, it does my heart good, though, David, that being the huge Apple fan that I am and that you are, that you're going to get this iPhone 10. It just feels like the right thing for you to do. Like
it feels very Apple.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, yep. It's just the right thing.
Did we mention that the iPhone 10 will not have Touch ID?
I'm not sure if we said it directly, but we just said Face ID, but you're right. It won't have Touch ID. It won't have a home button. It's going to be a rather different iPhone experience, I think. And people are going to have to decide whether you really like the iPhone experience that we're accustomed to. And if you do, probably go with one of the 8s if you're into upgrading to a different phone. But if you want to try something new and different, no home button, no touch ID, edge-to-edge screen, you might want to try the iPhone 10.
The nice thing, though, about the 10 also is that it's going to be kind of in between sizes. So it's going to be a little bit smaller than the Plus and a little bit bigger than the 7 or 8 series phones. So I've been okay with the Plus models, but they are a little big, so I'll be happy to get a slightly smaller phone.
I will, too. So all you listeners, stay out of our way on October 27th, because David and Alice and I have to get in there, and then you can get in there. But, you know, hold off.
We can't podcast for you if we don't get them on November 3rd.
That's right. So. It's not for our personal gain. It's for our listeners so that we can produce our podcasts. Right.
Yes. It wouldn't have anything to do with our selfish desire.
Not at all.
Of course not. So I've kind of said everything that I can think of about my reaction to the presentation. Allison, anything you want to add?
Nothing else that I can really think of, except for please calm down, Twitter. It's going to be okay. The Face ID is going to be accessible. Take a deep breath.
Yeah, exactly. It's all going to work out. Yeah. How about you, David? Thanks for staying up and podcasting with us. Anything you want to add?
Podcasting road warrior here.
No,
I like that sometimes. No, look, I think when I had reflection and my wife said, well, why are you staying the same? Don't you want the latest and greatest like you normally do? I think it sort of waked me up and I went, oh, yeah, that's David Woodbridge that I used to know apparently. So I'm glad I sort of came back to myself. So that's good. I'm really looking forward to the Apple Watch Series 3. I really want hopefully complete independence on my watch. The other thing, who mentioned it? Oh, that's right. Somebody mentioned the fact that your Find My Friends will transfer from the phone to the watch. So when you're out and about and you've left your phone at home, your family can still track you on your watch because you've still got data still running. So that's going to be exciting with Find My Friends. And I'm always using my AirPods. So to me, you know, having really good, being able to stream music to my watch, you know, 40 million Apple Music tracks, is going to be really exciting. And, of course, the other thing I just wish they would have at least demoed again would have been the HomePod.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that. There's just going to be another event, and we'll have to come back. That's all.
Yeah.
And more money spent.
Yes.
Right. I'm really excited about the HomePod, though.
Yeah, me too. I'm getting two to make a stereo pair. I already.
Oh, Allison. You are the best Apple fan ever. Well, I don't know, David. You guys are both really good at it.
David gives me a run for my money. Yeah. David,
he does indeed.
I will probably be getting one because I've just bought about, I think, 8 Google Chrome audio devices.
Oh,
to
okay, yeah.
I know. You've been podcasting like a madman on Google Chrome stuff.
But I've reattached myself back to the Apple sphere. So my next 4 to 6 weeks, I'm doing nothing but iOS 11, hopefully Mac, High Sierra when it comes out, the watch for the new watch, the new iPhone. I might ask Apple for an Apple 4th generation 4K so I can just do some testing and demonstrating on it.
Excellent.
So I'm looking at about producing about 20 podcasts in the next 6 weeks.
Woohoo.
So if anyone doesn't know, David, where should they go to listen to all these podcasts?
Probably the easiest way is to go into iTunes and just type in my name, David Woodbridge, and you'll find my book plus my podcast IC. Or you can just go to David Woodbirth, so that's davidwoodbr.podbean. That's how it sounds, podbean.com. But literally, if you just stick David Woodbridge in your favorite podcatcher or iTunes, you'll find me anyway.
Great. All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this extravaganza. We're going to get this thing out quickly without too much editing so that people can get the information. Allison, it's been a pleasure as always. David, thank you for being here. I am Robert, one of the tech doctors, and I'm just going to say so long for now.
And this is Allison, the other tech doctor, saying bye, everyone.